Good morning, everybody. My name is Laura, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater undereater. Let's begin with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. I'm going to try to stay in front of this microphone, but it's a little awkward, so please bear with me. Just give me the hand signal at the back if you can't hear me. This is the writing workshop, From Slip or Relapse to Recovery. My name is Laura, I already told you that. I am the leader and qualifier here. Well, they're telling me much more time, but anyway. I'm going to talk for 15 minutes. The session is being recorded, and we will be doing writing for 15 minutes. So let's start with the basics. I came into OA in 1989. I came in because I could not stop eating. That was my main first qualification for the program. Oh, by the way, I'm supposed to tell you where I'm from. I'm from the far-off borough of Queens, New York. Queens, New York. Yay, all supporters in the house, yay. Queens, New York. So I came by way of upstate New York, and how I ended up in Queens is a long story, but anyway, long story. I sound like I've been there forever. Only 22 years, but okay. So I got into OA because my coworker 12-stepped me. I was standing around a jar filled with junk, and I was eating it, and I must have said out loud, I don't know why I'm doing this. And all of a sudden, it was like the voice of God was like, does it sedate you? And I was like, I'd been in therapy, so of course I knew that I ate when I was anxious, but I didn't know any more than that. So she said, come to my office, and she basically 12-stepped me into Overeaters Anonymous. She became my first sponsor. She helped me work the program, and I had to turn my food over. What is that? I had no knowledge of that. I went to a nutritionist at 2 years into the program because I didn't know from dieting, because I always kind of knew that I thought I needed to, but yet I didn't believe that I could. I somehow intuitively knew like I couldn't do it. So my history was that I was coming from an alcoholic family with mental illness, and there was a lot of eating and, of course, other substances, which I won't get into. Thank God I've been off of those for a very, very, very long time. So, but food, of course, I'm sure was my first love, because some kids, when they're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, maybe do an alcohol, but I was definitely doing food. So I was not a big weight loser in the program, but I did lose 20 pounds from my top weight. Somewhere into the program, which I'll go get into like as part of the topic, is that I ended up getting up in the middle of the night, and I was eating like breakfast food in the middle of the night. And so that my current abstinence, God willing, November 22nd or 23rd, I will have 31 years free from middle of the night eating. I've been off of sugar. Oh, thank you very much. I love the applause, but it's really my higher powers work, not me. So so I have been off of sugar the whole time of the program, or let's say, what is it? March will be 36 years I've been in OA, and you know, maybe it was 35 years I've been off of sugar, whatever, it doesn't matter. I can't even remember that last episode, whether it was right before I came in or somewhere in the middle. I mean, it's been a long time. It's like somebody's lifetime already. So anyway, as far as the topic, from slip to recovery, I'm going to try to look at our wonderful person over there who's timing me. I'm looking at the timer here also. So, you know, when I was in that situation, I was in graduate school and, you know, living in a New York City apartment, actually a New York City apartment I was renting it from a coworker of mine. And as it turns out, like, there was a forward on the phone to another state. And so I felt like I could not take the forward off the phone because it was like a rotary phone, like how do you put this back on kind of thing. It was so disturbing. And anyway, so there I was by myself, allegedly, in that apartment with food. I mean, everybody, most people can relate to that, you know, suddenly like, where's the higher power? Where's all the step work I was doing? Where's my sponsees, my sponsors? My sponsor was like, just call me. And of course, in the middle of the night, I didn't call her. Like now, we've got a million meetings. You got Zoom in the middle of the night. You've got, you know, texting in the middle of the night. I didn't have any of that. So, you know, I relapsed. I didn't want to start counting days again, but me and my sponsor agreed that was the right thing to do. There's other people I know that have gotten up in the middle of the night and ate, and they don't consider it a problem. For me, it was a problem. I don't think I did it even for that long. I don't even think I did this before the program. You know, before the program, I was binging my brains out in a basement apartment by myself. Well, I lived alone, so of course it was by myself. And anyway, most people, it's a shame they're by themselves anyway. But so that's what I was doing before I got into OA. And, you know, I was compulsively overeating regular food too. And, you know, of course, my first sponsor helped me identify my personal binge foods. There was the undereating, where I was coming back from college, and at some point my boyfriend says, oh, you look good. I was like ready to faint, you know, because I was like too underweight. And I was like, oh, great, thank you. You know, the sickness, the total sickness. I love when people laugh because they're like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one that feels this way. So anyway, to get back to that, how did I get out of relapse? That's the purpose of this, 10 minutes left, thank you. That's the purpose of this workshop. One day I went to another 12-step program and I heard somebody saying that they would get down on their knees and that would help them with their substance. And it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh my God, I wonder if that could work for me. So that was one thing I did. And then the other thing I did was that my sponsor, like she just said to me, you know, maybe you can commit to not eating before 6 a.m. And it was like a miracle because I made that commitment to her, as always, my commitment to someone else is better than my commitment to myself with the food. That's why, of course, I ended up, you know, doing that. And then I was literally counting the minutes. I was, you know, 5:57, 5:58, 5:59. But I did it because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I felt horrible. I felt drunk on food. And it was, you know, it was too much. And I was just, I was crying. I mean, I cried all the time anyway in the past, but I was even more crying. Hang on 1 second. Miss, there's 2 seats down here in the front if you want to come down. Okay. Stick with the winners up front here.
I got you.
Anyway, so I did that. And as a result, one day at a time, I was able to build up. And, you know, I'm telling you that every day it felt like, oh my God, is today the day I'm going to pick up again? Is today the day I'm going to pick up again? I'm like, oh my God. Please God, you know, praying before I'm going by the store where I used to get my binge food. And it was like, oh, well, let me just pray. Please God, just get me through from here to there. And, you know, to get home without picking up. And that's what happened. And then one day became another day, became a week, became a month, became a, you know, 6 months, became a year. And, you know, like, no matter what, okay. No matter what, don't pick up. I mean, you know, it's easy to talk about not picking up food like sugar for me. That was pretty clear cut. But then it's like, well, what about that food that might be allowed, but I have to have like 6 of them in order for me to have my portion? I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. It's too much. Forget about it. So. I eventually realized, like, okay, so, I mean, it's not like I can't eat the food, but if I have to have 6 every time, I'm like, oh my God, that's too crazy. So I went to nutritionists, like I said, and I got all the details of what would be a good abstinence plan and this amount of carbohydrate. And she knew I was an undereater too. She was like, okay, you don't have to weigh and measure the vegetables strictly or whatever. And my plan has changed so much from when I first started, like, I'm a vegan now. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a vegan now. Vegan, with a capital V. And it's a little crazy at times, because I'm also a breast cancer survivor, and I wanted to make sure that I don't contribute to me getting the disease back again. Thank you, God. So it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough. It's very limited. There's a lot of places that are not vegan friendly. And I do the best I can, you know. There are things I know that are not mine, or that I just don't. I'm not going to say if, like one time I accidentally had this meal and it had dairy in it, and I haven't had dairy for a long time, even before I was vegan, because it doesn't agree with my sinuses. And I'm like, this tastes vaguely familiar. What is that? And I'm like, and I asked the guy, is there any dairy in here? Oh, no, no, miss, no, no, no. And I look at it and I go, oh my God, this looks like, I'll say the word cheese. And I'm like, I called the guy, I said, excuse me. And he goes, or somebody else. And they go, oh yeah, yeah, that's got this type of cheese. And I was like, uh-oh, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, okay, what am I gonna do? I'll stop eating it and that's it. I'll drink the water, it'll clear out my sinuses. And it was a reminder of why I don't eat dairy. You know, I get a lot of mucus. So anyway, I think I'm almost out of time, but the point being that, you know, some people might call that a slip. I don't know. Sometimes a slip could be like some people that weigh and measure strictly. Maybe if you don't weigh, maybe that could be a slip. I think that's really a personal. I heard it, sobriety loses its priority. That's what I heard a slip is. And, you know, if I'm working the rest of the program, the food is very quiet. It's not so loud. If I'm doing all my other stuff, if I'm doing my steps, if I'm doing my traditions, if I'm doing my concepts of service, the food is quiet. And then I can be like the big book talks about, of maximum service to God and my fellows. That's what I want to do. I mean, my first service is always to myself, to my higher power first, then myself, then maybe my kitten and my other cat, and then maybe my husband, I don't know. They could fight for position 3 and 4 and see which one they want to take. But that's really the goal, and to be a good person, to get rid of resentments, to not hold resentments, which I have a lot of them, but thank God I can 10-step them every day. And I want to just read this one thing before I close that kind of talks about it. The other thing I did when I was in relapse too is that at some point I decided to commit to 30 meetings in 30 days. I was too lazy for the 90 and 90. Keeping it 100% real, folks. And I did 27 meetings in 30 days. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was terrific. So if you're having trouble, my suggestion, I'm not your sponsor, but my suggestion, go to a lot of meetings, try to help somebody else, get outside yourself, forgive yourself. That's a very important thing. I won that at one of these conventions. It says, be kind to yourself and forgive yourself, because this disease is a killer. It's a real killer. I mean, emotionally, spiritually, physically, it's a killer. So just forgive yourself and try to move on. Because if I spend like the rest of my time thinking about what I ate, my head is still in the food. Who cares? Let's be in today. Let's be in, forget about what I put in my mouth this morning even. Let's be in today. Let's be in the moment. And let's, you know, follow what God wants. So I'll just read the last part because I think I'm almost out of time. This is January 1st in the 4th today. It says, one of the lines says, oh, hello there, a future overeater. Hello there, sweetheart. This one line says, do I want to be absent with peace of mind? Have I been able to achieve it on my own? I can admit my powerlessness now, or I can wait for another calendar, quote unquote, beginning. But the best time to give up my will and my old ideas, my defects, is any time I'm ready to grow. And this is the most important part here for me. For today, instead of resolutions, promises, and vows, I mark this day as I do all others by surrendering my will and my life to God. And it's in italics, which means we got to pay attention to it like in the big book. I give up trying to handle my food and my weight. So I think I'm out of time. That's good enough. Okay, thank you, folks. So we're gonna do Thank you, thank you, thank you. My mother thanks you, my father thanks you. Okay, we're gonna do a 15-minute writing. So I'm gonna write also. So whatever you do, just, you know, if you read it, you may not be able to read the whole thing if it's 20 pages long, but be prepared. If you'd like to share it, please do. And whatever you got from what I said, you know, maybe something that you haven't done that you maybe would be willing to do to help your abstinence. What have I not done today that I need to do to help my abstinence? Or even whatever you got from my share. So I'm gonna stop the recorder right now. Okay, so we're back from our 15-minute break. So, who would like to share their writing today? We have 2-minute shares per group conscience. Okay, way in the back. I'm going to bring the recorder to you.
And you can talk loud. I don't know. Can you talk loud so everybody can hear you?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rebecca.
My writing's not really going to make sense, and I'm going to try not to cry. I came to this retreat six days into a breakup with my partner, and I'm feeling raw, 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 raw. And so I'll read what I wrote. I spent so much time and energy thinking about food, it robbed me of learning to live a good life. I made bad choices over and over. I didn't know how to stop. I know this program tells us not to regret the past, but that's tough when I feel like I was finally on track to a better life, and once again, my character defects have burned it to the ground. Being in and out of relapse for 26 years did not allow me to learn any emotional intelligence. I'm 140 days abstinent, and I finally surrendered to the food. Thank you. But every day I wonder when my next slip will come. Because that's the only thing I've ever known. And now my life is a mess, and I'm afraid of relapse because the only way I know how to deal with this pain is to numb it with food. I'm drowning. I'm drowning in my emotions. I'm raw. I'm numb. I need to detach from Claude, but I don't know how. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
the lady
with the hand up in the third row there.
I'll do my best. I'm Liana. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, food addict, and anorexic and bulimic. And I'm abstinent today by God's loving grace, just one day at a time. Thank you very much for your story. And I think I had to learn that I didn't need to like think that other people were so perfect. You know, I love hearing relapse stories because it reminds me that I'm human and that we're all human and we're all just trying to make it through the day, one day at a time with this disease that we have. It's like I have this thing, I can fight it or I can pick up the spiritual kit of tools. Those are my options because my only other option is to die. I had the gift of doing service the other night. I got to speak about the tools, and for me, that's really the only way to stay out of relapse. Is to do the tools like my life depends on it. That's it. You know, I had been in program before for 15 years. I was abstinent. I followed structured food plan. I did the tools religiously, but then I got really full of ego, and I thought there was God and I was it. And I destroyed my marriage. I destroyed my life. I ended up as a single mom. I didn't lean into program. I leaned out, and I started a 13-year relapse, and I left the rooms because I couldn't speak program out of one side of my mouth and be lying out of the other side of my mouth. And I tried everything. I was in every addiction for those 13 years. And when I crawled back through the doors of OA in 2021, and I've been abstinent ever since, I needed to just do the tools. So I needed to follow the structured food plan. I needed to make those phone calls. I needed to do the readings and take the quiet time and do the writing, and then it became what I wanted to do. it stopped being, oh, I have to do this, and it became what I wanted to do. Thank you. It really is a gift, abstinence, and I just feel like I really have to take care of it. So thank you. There's a hand. I see.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Anna. I'm a compulsive overeater, equal opportunity addict. And thank you so much for your share as well as the other shares. Your share spurred quite a bit of thought for me. And this is what I came up with. What have I not done today that could help my abstinence? And this has all been uncovered during this session. Plan my food and meditate. I need to plan my food, eat it, and in between, let it go to God. Live life in between, guided by my higher power and the 12 steps. The directions are so clear when I pause and listen for my higher power's direction. The answers to life fall into place when I am calm. I am calm when I let go of control. I am abstinent when I am calm and let go of any and all ways to results. And the results themselves. The process belongs to my higher power, but I have to physically, emotionally, and spiritually turn my body, mind, and spirit over to the one that knows better than I. There are angels on the way to help me, like you guys. I'm an angel too, if I allow recovery to enter, if I am open-minded. When I close myself off, I relapse and another struggle to stay on the three-legged tool happens. Open-minded, honesty, and willingness, kind of out of, how, but I got it the wrong way, to do the next right thing guides me to be right-sized. When I am no greater than and no less than anyone else, I have the opportunity to live well in recovery, and relapse cannot touch me. That's it.
Thank you.
Whoopsie.
Okay. Hi, I'm a compulsive eater. My name is Amy.
Hi.
And how do I give up trying to control my food and weight? Don't I have to pay attention? Giving away my food means making a commitment for this day, this meal. Why do I resist that? I like having freedom of choice. I don't like telling someone else my plan. I hate surrendering. I also hate feeling out of control with food. If I tell someone what I ate rather than what I plan to eat, is that me trying to wriggle out more control? Resistance is the refusal to accept or comply with something. Giving away my food is the act of accepting or complying with program to prevent overeating. Resistance is also having to do with like bacteria that are resistant. Like some of us have a lower resistance to that. I have a low resistance to overeating. I have to combat it with prevention. There's also resistance in electricity, and not going with the flow is having a low resistance. How difficult is it for me to fight against something that is attacking me? The food is attacking me. How hard is it for me to do that? What happens when I push for change when I'm really not ready? I'm not going to get it done. I'm going to say, I don't like this idea. I'm going to stamp my feet. I seem hopeless. I'm not happy about giving away my food. On one hand, I want recovery, and on the other, I don't think I can recover.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Laura Kay from New York.
Hi, Laura.
And I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you for your share, and thank you everybody else for yours. It's really helpful to me. What have I not done that I need to do to help my abstinence? That was the question that I answered. 30 meetings in 30 days, that seems to be coming through. I need to stay in touch with program every day. I need to put me first and ask God to give me the gift of abstinence every day, every meal, every time I think of food. In other words, all the time. What have I heard so far in this conference? Of things that touched me, a plan of action, meditate, pray, journal, God box, service, literature, anonymity, plan of eating, action plan, abstinence. I'm sure there were more and I just didn't write them down. It's in getting in tune with intuition through prayer and meditation, which is connection with God, that I am given knowledge of healthy choices. And that's from the second edition of the OA 12 and 12, pages 19 to 22. I can't direct my eating. God can. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Stephanie. I'm a very grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Stephanie.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here today. I'm very grateful for the speaker and for people who are doing service. This is a topic for me. I've been consistently in program for well over 25 years, and I have had many moments of recovery, but there has always been more moments of relapse. And really for me, I really thought I was that person in the big book who was unconstitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. Because if there is one thing I am good at, it is being a liar about my food and about the reality of my life and my situation. So in March of 2022, something happened, right? The world shut down. And guess what? I found my first real long stent with abstinence. And it was because I was able to devote the time that I needed to learn. And, you know, in that time I followed a very, very rigorous gray plan. And I did it. And when I stopped doing it, it all came back. And I really have been blaming my weight gain on my now menopause and all the other things, and it wasn't set up to the right way in the first place. It's the plan's problem. And what I've had to sit here this morning and really think about, and my sponsor challenged me this week, you know what, forget it, that's a food plan. What was all the other stuff that you did? And here's what I did. I did get down on my knees. I committed my food and I kept the promise to someone else, because it is easier to keep it to someone else than myself sometimes. I prayed when I was driving past the 7-Elevens that I wouldn't stop. I worked on connecting with others every day. No matter what, I did not pick up between meals. I practiced being day tight. I went to meetings at least 3 to 4 days a week, and what you said meant so much to me. My sobriety can never lose its priority. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm afraid. Hi, my name is Tina. I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
The food is quiet. I love that line. And that you said that when we're working an honest program, the food is quiet. Honesty is not one of my strengths. I can be honest with others, and I pride myself on that, full disclosure, saying what I mean, meaning what I say, and don't say it mean. Honesty with myself is a struggle. It's hard for me to sit and pause and get real with my feelings. My family of origin taught me, be tough. Sitting is not acceptable. Work hard, no pausing. It's not a lesson that I was taught to just sit, pause, and reflect and feel. The message was that I didn't do enough and that I was not enough. OA is teaching me a new way. The message of getting on my knees, palms open, accepting God's gift of abstinence, love, and acceptance. It seems so easy, so passive and joyful. I brought my abstinent breakfast to the room last night so that I'd be all set for this morning, minus the yogurt. So I went to the hotel breakfast. I was surprised to see hot oatmeal there, although I already had mine in the room's fridge. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is warm. An abstinent food. Better probably than what I brought. Then I noticed the condiments, the walnuts, craisins, honey, brown sugar, all my alcoholic foods. I know this. I'm at an OA conference. God was there with me. Although my go-to message was to go for it, God spoke to me, helped me pick yogurt, a nice black coffee, and head back to my room to enjoy the oatmeal that I had brought. It was lovely, delicious, plenty, enough. The food for today was quiet. Thank you for that message. This disease is cunning, baffling, and deadly, and I'm grateful for program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Quick funny story while you're passing it to whoever's next. Who would like to go next? My husband and I prepared our breakfast for 2 days, and guess where I left it? In the freezer at Queens. So this morning he says to me, so what about the breakfast? I go, I told him yesterday. I forgot it. And he went, what?
Thanks. Turn on the timer for myself. Okay. Hi, I'm Tracy, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, everyone. I took so much from everything, but for me, what really jumped out at me was the slip, sobriety loses its priority, and for myself, what I've been grappling with is this abstinence idea that I have kept my abstinence in that I have not eaten any of my I haven't eaten the wrong stuff. And but yet I don't, I find ways around it in that I will behave, I might eat an abstinent food, maybe not in the most abstinent way, or I might replace that with another substance or something. And so when you said the sobriety loses its priority, I was like, that's it. It's that I am again using my will and my power of persuasion to bend the rules enough. And so when I wrote about the idea that I'm starting, because I couldn't figure out, I've tweaked my food plan, I've spoken to my sponsor, I've spoken to other fellows, but I'm like, no, what I need to do is start using the tools before I'm in those situations and deal with the feelings that I'm having. I'm clearly using these other things to feel connected to the people that I'm with, to bring back memories of better times or whatever it is. So it's time now to start pausing before I go to these events and saying, what is gonna come up for me and how am I gonna feel connected to these people in a abstinent way? How am I going to deal with feeling on the outside, if I might be feeling on the outside, rather than solving that problem with either an abstinent food eaten unabstinently, it's my own time, or by behaving in a way. So I loved that idea, because when I'm slipping, then my sobriety is not my priority. So it really got me thinking how I want to deal with that. So thank you for letting me share. And I'm out of time.
Hi, I'm Nancy, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. This has been really great. I feel like every session I've gone to this morning has built on the others. And, when I was writing about the relapse, one of the things that is so prevalent for me is the oh-eff-its. It's like I'm in a situation. I went to this, one of the sessions yesterday that was all about don't let a trip be a slip. And I've got a trip planned for 2 weeks in December, and I'm already in that, it's going to be really hard. I'm going to be with friends. I'm going to be in a foreign country. It's going to be too hard. That's like been my go-to. I also am living with somebody who has his own isms, and we are a lot alike in that, we give into our isms, and it makes it really, really hard for me, and I get into the OFits all the time, because I'm like, it's too hard. We're going to get in an argument. And so I have, he does a lot of the cooking. And so, I don't do a lot of the shopping. And so he buys things I don't want to eat. And he makes portion sizes that I don't want to eat. And it's so convenient because I can just blame him for everything. It's like, it's not my fault. He made this and I, was there in front of me. But I can go shopping. I can make my own meals. He has a different ism than I do, but our patterns of behavior are really similar. And that I realized this morning in one of the other sessions that I'm so mad at him because it's projection. I'm seeing myself in him. And we've been living together now for about 10 years, and I have gradually over those 10 years gained back all of the weight and some more. Since, when I first got into program, I lost a lot of weight. And I'm having physical issues now. I just had my hip redone. I feel like a wibble wobble. I can't do the things I like to do. And it's just very convenient because it's all his fault. It has nothing to do with me. And I'm out of time. Thank you.
I am loving Compulsive Overeater and so pleased to be at this workshop.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. I am just thrilled to be here because I needed to hear what I heard from a lot of people, and especially this speaker today. And, what I started writing was, I'm really tired. I just want to close my eyes. I got up at 6:30 this morning. It's much earlier than what I usually get up. So I just wanted to, whatever. And yet I had to pay attention because I've been in program 32 years, and I had a couple of big relapses. And I was in such denial because what I was eating was abstinent food. But just too much of it, mm-hmm. So much that I would time myself. That's enough time. 20 minutes is enough time. Don't eat any more. Or a half an hour is okay. And I would just do all these other tricks to try and have just some normal capacity of food in my body, but it was very, very challenging. And I did gain a good amount of weight. I had lost 110 pounds when I first came in. But then all of a sudden, in these two relapses, I gained 70 pounds. Thank God I didn't go back to 300, but I was working my way there for sure, and it was very easy, very easy. And then, thank God, I got back. I got back with God's help and my sponsors. I got back on track. And it took a lot, but I never left program. However, about 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago, I picked up a salad, and it came with a little packet of something. And I says, I think I could eat these. It's just a little packet. And I did. And I knew they were sugar-coated. And I told my sponsor, I says, so is that a slip? And she says to me, you were conscious of what you did. I'm sorry. It's not a slip. A slip is something you used to wear under your clothing. It's not a slip. She said, you broke your abstinence, and I had it for a long time. So I had to start counting again. And I still have to pay attention every single day, because it is only one day at a time. Because my disease is not going to say, I'll give her a break today. No, it's right there. Like they say, doing push-ups. And I don't need to have that anymore. I need to be aware of what I'm doing, what I'm eating. And my husband is going through a lot of health things, and I don't want to go into that because she keeps telling me I'm not done. So I am done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
You're welcome.
That was the other
person.
Really quick?
Yeah. We have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Joanne B. From Vermont.
Hi,
everybody. Yeah, I just feel like I need to tell on myself. You know what I mean? So I've been in this program for 2 years. I got abstinent, and sugar was my main trigger food. Sugar and flour, baked goods. I did all the things, went through the steps, sponsoring others, going to meetings, but there's things that I'm not doing and consistently anymore. I'm not committing my food anymore. I weigh and measure, but hey, I weigh and measure my breakfast, I weigh and measure my lunch, but then dinner, you know, I'll eyeball it kind of thing. And there's certain things that I'm doing that are just not honest, like, and then last week I had, I guess is a relapse, but I've had like slips, and I call them slips, like once every 6 weeks something will happen, and I'll overeat something, some kind of food that has an ingredient that I shouldn't be eating. And then I'll call my sponsor and I'll tell her, and she's very gentle with me, and she's like, okay, just keep going. Just get back on. And I talked to someone today, and she's like, well, you know, that sounds like a relapse because it's a progressive disease. And last week I kind of like hit a bottom. Anyway, so I'm here. I'm learning, like, I got to get back to basics, get recommitted. And, you know, like, there are these, like, protein bars that I eat, and they don't have sugar, but they have dates in them. Dates. And they taste almost like a chocolate bar. And, like, I eat them once a day. And I'm like, okay, I only have one once a day. But now it's like, ooh, sometimes twice a day, and after dinner. And like things like that that I'm just not telling anybody about, I'm not being honest about. But I love all the recovery I'm hearing today, and I know that it's just really inspiring. And I know that there is some fear about, like, oh, you know, doing the entire abstinence thing, and like, but you know, time's out. Time's up. Thanks for letting me share.
Sorry, we can't get to everybody.
Okay, so we're going to end the session now. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody. So let's take a moment of silence for all the sick and suffering outside the rooms. And oh wait, let's thank our wonderful room monitor and timer, Tracy. Woohoo! Go, Tracy. And let's thank ourselves for being here. Woohoo! Yay us! And thank you all for your shares. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. Thank you, everybody.